2.5 months ago, my son Soren's whole life was turned upside down. For 3 years, Soren enjoyed what you first children call the golden years. 3 years of totally undivided attention from mom and dad. And then everything changed on January 26th. Sage Marie was born. 2 days later, we brought her home from the hospital, and Soren's life would never be the same. Everything that was exclusively his for 3 years was suddenly shared. It turned his little world upside down. Now, I took 2 weeks off from work after Sage was born, and for 2 weeks, my little boy Soren just followed me from room to room to room. I couldn't even go to the bathroom by myself. But as he followed me from room to room, Soren asked me the same two questions over and over and over in the way only a toddler can. Are you my daddy? Do you love me a little or a lot? Are you my daddy? Do you love me a little or a lot? His whole world was turned upside down, and my son's little heart needed assurance that I was still his daddy, who loved him a lot. And just like my son Soren, I believe our greatest need this Good Friday is to know that God is our Father who loves us a lot. Now, why do I say that I think that's our greatest need? Well, it's because the love of God is the fuel of life. You know, Jesus himself said that the greatest commandment is to love God with all of who you are. But you'll only love God with all of who you are if you know that he first loved you. St. Augustine said that our hearts are restless. We were made for God, but our hearts are restless until they rest in him. But our hearts will never rest in him unless we know beyond a shadow of a doubt that he loves us. The Westminster Shorter Catechism says that the chief end of man is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. But you'll only glorify and enjoy God if you know he first delights in you and loves you. See, our greatest need, our heart's greatest need is to know that God loves us. And I've got great news for you. That's what Good Friday is all about. Follow along on the screen with me. I want to read a few verses from Romans chapter 5. The Apostle Paul, under the inspiration of the Spirit, says this: "For while we were still weak, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare even to die. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since therefore we have now been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God." See, the big idea when it comes to Good Friday is that Good Friday proves that God loves you. Good Friday proves that God loves you. The cross of Christ puts on display the wondrous majesty of God's love. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. It's the death of Christ that displays the love of God above all else. And if our heart's greatest need is to know, to savor, to enjoy, to revel in the reality that God loves us, then we need to press a little deeper into the death of Christ, into our passage that I just read. We need to ask the question, what is God's love like? In other words, if Good Friday proves that God loves us, then what is the love of God that is on display at the cross of Christ like? As we press more deeply into our passage from Romans 5, we're going to see three characteristics of God's love. We're going to see that Good Friday proves that God loves us with an unmerited, costly, permanent love. An unmerited love, a costly love, and a permanent love. First, Good Friday proves that God loves us with an unmerited love, a love that we don't deserve and cannot earn. And we see that from the contrast in Romans chapter 5, verses 6 and 7, the contrast between the pinnacle of human love and God's love. Take a look at verse 7. The pinnacle of human love. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person, one would dare even to die. What Paul's saying is that at our best, we as humans might give our lives for someone that we deem more worthy to live than us. But you notice then, by its very nature, human love is merited. It's merited by the value of the object of the love. Now listen to how Paul describes God's love. Romans 5, 6. For while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. See, the words weak and ungodly, when taken together, highlight our absolute helplessness to merit God's love. We don't deserve it, and we'll never earn it. You see, what our lives have merited, according to the Bible, is God's condemnation. That's what our sin has earned. But God sent His Son. He displayed His great unmerited love, and that while we were still sinners, He sent Christ to be our sin on the cross. He lived a sinless life and then died as a substitute, a sinner's death, so that God's love could come to us despite our helplessness. You see, the cross of Christ, Good Friday, proves that God's love, first, is unmerited. Now, very practically, that means that when you're tempted to doubt God's love for you, when you're tempted to doubt His goodness, doubt that He loves you, the last thing you want to do is run from this idea of your helplessness. The last thing you want to do is run to try to meriting God's love. No, when you doubt In whatever situations you're in, when you're tempted to doubt the goodness and love of God, don't run from your helplessness, run to the cross. Because the cross is proof that God's love comes to us only because of the merits of Christ. We receive unmerited love because Christ merited God's love for us through his perfect life and his substitutionary death. Don't run from your helplessness. Revel in it. Because what Jesus did on the cross, according to Romans 5, is what makes the words I'm about to read you from Romans 8 absolutely true. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers, nor height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. God's love, according to Good Friday, first, is an unmerited love that comes to us through the merits of Christ alone. But his love is not only unmerited, it's also very costly. See, when we say that God's love is unmerited or his grace is free, that is true enough. God's grace is free to you and to me because it was very costly to him. The reason that God's love can come to us free of charge, unmerited by our good works, is because God's love was incredibly costly to Christ. What was the great cost of God's love? Romans 5:8. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Sin leads to death. What you and I have earned through our lives is eternal death, eternal condemnation. But what we celebrate and remember on Good Friday is that Jesus took our place. That Jesus lived the life we should have lived and died the death we deserve to die so that all of God's love can come to us free by grace at the infinite cost of his Son. God's love, yes, it's unmerited, but it is also very costly. Just how costly? Well, far from being romantic or sanitized, that final Friday in the Lord Jesus' life was objectively horrible. The horror of Friday was preceded by the betrayal of Thursday night. You and I read it together. One of his very own followers betrayed him with a kiss. Perhaps his best friend denied knowing him, not once, not twice, but three times. His very own countrymen, religious leaders, hauled him off and beat him and interrogated him and mocked him. And then on Friday morning, they betrayed him to the Romans, handed him over to Pontius Pilate. Pilate knew that Jesus had done nothing to earn crucifixion. But like many of us, he was concerned about his own popularity. And so he handed over the only innocent man who ever lived to be crucified. The Romans designed crucifixion to inflict the maximum amount of pain while keeping the victim alive for the maximum amount of time. And so they handed Jesus over to be crucified, and you read that first they shredded his back apart with a whip. Blood oozing from his back, they threw that cloak over him. Now, in order to throw a cloak over him, they first stripped him naked in front of a battalion, 600 men. Then they put the robe on him in mockery of his kingship. And then they mocked his claim to be king by taking a crown of thorns and driving it into his skull. Then they tore the robe back off of him, probably just as that blood was starting to dry. They beat him nearly to death and then made him carry a cross to Golgotha. When they took Jesus to the place where he would be crucified, they fastened him to the cross with what we would think of as railroad spikes through his wrists and his ankles. Then they would raise the cross up and drop it into a deep hole so that the cross could stand up on its own. The force of the drop was intended to dislocate Jesus' shoulders so he wouldn't have the strength to pull himself up. It was a horribly slow way to die by suffocation. And then just before he breathed his last, the sinless Son of God, who had never experienced the separation from the Father that sin causes, cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me?" He took the shame, the condemnation, the sin that we committed upon himself. And that on that Good Friday, God proved that he loves sinners like you and like me with an unmerited but very costly love. The horror of Good Friday puts on display that God's love for you is very, very costly. It cost him his son. Now, something slightly terrifying happens at times when you believe that God loves you with an unmerited, costly love that you don't deserve and you can't earn. And that slightly terrifying thing that happens every once in a while is you start to wonder if he'll ever take it away. If he'll ever look at you in your sin and me in committing the same sins over and over and just say, "You know what? I'm done. I'm going to take my free, unmerited love back." I have wonderful news for you. Good Friday proves not only that God's love is unmerited and very costly, it's also permanent. It's finally permanent. Romans 5, verses 8 and 9. "But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since therefore we have now been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him," by Jesus, "from the wrath of God." The reason you can know that God's unmerited, costly love that comes to you through the merits of Christ alone is permanent is because Jesus absorbed all the wrath that God has for sinners. There's no more wrath left. We've been justified, declared right with God through Jesus' blood. And Jesus absorbed all the wrath for all who would ever hope in him. And that's why Paul can say that for those who are in Christ, there is now no condemnation. If you're in Christ,
God's love for you is unmerited, it is costly, and it is permanent. It is finished. But Good Friday does display that there is another aspect of God's love that we can never forget. Yes, God's love is unmerited, it's costly, and it's permanent. It comes to us that way. But God's love, according to Good Friday, is also conditional. Notice what our passage says. God's love comes to us. We experience it. We enjoy its benefits always and only through Jesus Christ. God's love comes to us only through the merits of Christ. That's the condition of it. And so Good Friday raises the question. Have you turned from your own merits? Have you turned from any hope in your ability to earn God's love now and forever? And have you thrown yourself only upon the merits of Jesus in His life and death on your behalf? And when you are tempted to doubt His love, is Good Friday where you look? When you're tempted to doubt that God can love you, do you dig deep and try and find something in there that impresses Him? Or instead, do you look away from yourself and rejoice in the merits of Jesus? Like my son, Soren, tonight your greatest need and mine is to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that God is our Father who loves us a lot. And Good Friday is proof that for those who are in Christ, that for those who have put all of their hope in Jesus, not good religious people, not bad religious people, people who have said, I have no merits, I'm hoping only in what Jesus has done on the cross for me. Good Friday is proof that those who have weak faith, but have that weak faith in a strong Savior named Jesus Christ, Good Friday is proof that if you're in Christ, then the Jesus Storybook Bible is right. If you're in Christ, God loves you with a never stopping, never giving up, unbreaking, always and forever love. That's why we call Good Friday good. But Good Friday is only good because of what's coming on Sunday. And so I look forward to celebrating that wondrous morning with you. Let's pray.